welcome to Radio Utopistan. Happy you tuned in. Ahlan wa sahlan and bienvenidos. My name is Elisabeth White, your host and one of the co-founders here. We had a long break, but now we're back with even more passion and new tools to interconnect visionary people and to build ideas from around the world. Our mission still is to inspire a more just future through storytelling, through constructive storytelling. And today, I want to share some insights about the power of this constructive storytelling with you here. Because that's at the core of what we do at Radio Utopistan. We inspire people to create their very own utopias, on a personal level and connected to the bigger picture, to our societies, to our planet. Because a more just future, and this is a big word, but it starts with each and every one of us, doesn't it? A more just future, this needs on the one hand facts, figures and tools, and on the other hand imagination and people believing in it. So stories, ideas and the examples of people who already did unimaginable things can give us the drive to start something ourselves or to keep us going when things are getting tough. Stories also help us to understand how this world is working. They help us to see the connections between our personal lives and the societies we live in, the connections between ourselves and this beautiful planet we live on. Normally we have guests here on the podcast, or the stories of other people. Today, it's just me and what I've learned so far from constructive storytelling. Because time and time again, we get the question, what is it, this constructive storytelling? Just good news about flower gardens and food banks, positive thinking, ignoring all the horrors and problems of the world, pretending they're not there? No, I can tell you. There are a lot of prejudices around about constructive storytelling. A more just future via storytelling. It's not about fairy tales and unicorns. It's about facts and figures and imagination. We work on two levels with this principle here at Radio Utopistan. One is here on the podcast, where we share best practice examples, inspiration and tools on how to drive this positive change. The other level is happening in our workshops and events, where we dig a lot deeper into the power of constructive storytelling and the role you can play in all of this. How you can apply this power to your personal life, to your community, to your movement, or also to your social business. We do those workshops online or in person. You find all the information on our website, radioutopistan.de. DE, like a DDD Deutschland, Germany. This episode here, it's like a little summary or sneak peek into the ocean of constructive tools, exercises, and stories out there. In our new podcast series, as well as in our upcoming events, we focus on the topic of nature and justice, because this is what touches almost every aspect of our lives, no? Nature and justice, they are the foundation of a life in dignity. They provide for all our basic needs, for food, health, and security. The tragic is, both are dramatically in danger right now with all the multiple crises happening on the planet. It is also a topic that's very dear to my heart, as I've been working on it and around it for many years now in different countries with different people and backgrounds. We have more than a work relationship now, I would say, me and this topic. Being in nature makes me feel connected to something bigger than myself, and witnessing injustices makes me really furious, makes my soul ache almost. So in this series now, we look into ideas and talk to people who are working on strengthening both nature and justice, or one via the other. In agriculture, for example, in the law systems, in health, and even in hiking. First episode shall come out end of October. And if you know about projects or people working on the interconnection of nature and justice, tell us about them. Maybe they want to become utopistas for one of our episodes here or on our Instagram. Connect with us via our website or social media. Here and now, in our kickoff episode, I will share some insights on the power of constructive storytelling. Me and my colleagues here at Radio Utopistan, we are doing this since quite a while now, here and even longer with other media houses, especially the German public radio and TV. Me, for example, I'm working as a journalist since more than 15 years now. And I was always looking for constructive stories, even before I knew there was a word for it, a term or a concept. And it wasn't that easy, I have to admit, because in traditional journalism, solution-oriented stories are often seen as naive, not relevant, PR, or worst accusation for any serious journalist, advocacy. Then you get the question, are you a journalist or are you an activist? To me, the more interesting question is, what is the difference between an activist and a journalist anyway? Or any human being? I mean, shouldn't we all be activists for truth and for basic human rights? And now maybe also for nature rights? But journalism, my profession, normally is all about bringing you the stories that are showing you what is wrong with this world. In many years, also, I was mostly working on those topics, on the exploitation of people and planet. For example, like how many people get driven from their land or even killed because of World Bank credits? Why do people join ISIS in Syria and what did they do there? How are electric cars and copper mining destroying the rainforest? And then everywhere I found amazing people working on solutions, working on a more just future. They were trying to get stolen land back, for example. They were seeking justice and healing souls. They were building communities around alternative agriculture or energy supplies. But the rules according to which traditional journalism is working, they bring other stories into the spotlight, at least. Stories that show you what is not working in our world. Stories about corruption, violence, betrayal, and catastrophes. If it bleeds, it leads. This is one of the main principles according to which media works. And of course, it is important to know what is not working. But it is equally important, if not more important, to know what actually is working. No? Zach. For societies, for communities, and for our private lives. So I want to share with you now the three main ingredients that I find important to build a constructive story. There are many more. And you can use it for public or for private storytelling. For the stories that you allow to enter your head, the stories you tell yourself in your head, or the stories you tell other people. And it's not just about the big life-changing stories. It's also about the small, little, tiny stories. Whatever your answer to the question, how was your day, for example. What's coming up then? Is it the traffic jam you were annoyed about, or the sweet encounter you had with a stranger on the street? So my three most important ingredients or principles for constructive journalism are more solution, not so much problem, more perspectives, not just two, and more empathy in general. Into all of them, you could dive deeper and deeper for hours. But in short and a little more detail, it means number one, focus on solutions, not on the problem. Name the problem. Don't ignore it. Name the limits and the horrors. But give at least 70% of your time and attention to possible solutions. Second ingredient, more perspectives. Bring a whole kaleidoscope of viewpoints and not just two conflicting sides. Who are they anyway? No black and white thinking. Break the traditional good versus evil pattern. There is always a lot more to any story on this planet than just good and evil. And ingredient number three, more empathy in general. Talk about humans and for humans, not about Excel sheets and for Excel sheets. We connect with others and their stories via our hearts and our emotions, not via our minds. This is also why you cannot convince any extremists from whatever side or topic they are coming from with facts and numbers. It's not working. But there is a chance that people rearrange their mindset when you manage to build a connection, when you manage to make them feel something different than hatred or fear. And this doesn't only apply to extremists, of course, but to every human being. Of course, facts and numbers are important, and of course they have to be true and relevant, but they can only sink in when there is a connection, when there is trust. And trust can be established with empathy, with human stories about human beings, not about stereotypes or Excel sheets. There are a lot more ingredients and different storytelling recipes out there, depending on the chef or institution you ask. They have different toolboxes according to the experience, knowledge, and focus. But at the end, the basics are all the same. It's no rocket science. And the good news are, there's a shift happening in some media outlets. More channels and newspapers are bringing more so-called constructive news or solution journalism. They bring you responses to problems, and not only problems. There are research institutes, organizations, and think tanks with the mission of, quote, transforming news and media to create a more sustainable world. Very influential here is, for example, the Solution Journalism Network in the US. And that's where this quote is coming from also. Or there is the Constructive Institute in Denmark. And in Germany, since a little bit more than a year now, we have the Bonn Institute that's also working on strengthening constructive journalism here. I'll put all the links to those institutions in the show notes because they have tons of information. And maybe that helps you with consuming or producing your news and stories. So, and why is this shift happening? Interesting. One reason, they say, more and more people are avoiding traditional news. They don't watch them or listen to them anymore because they just can't take them anymore. Including me, I have to say. I just can't take it anymore very often. And this is dangerous because if you want an active society where people are really taking part in building this society, these people need to be informed. They need to know how things are working. And this is where we as Radio Utopistan want to make our contribution. We bring inspiration and knowledge that shows you how it is possible to build a more just future and how you can apply it to your very own story, how you can turn your idea, your vision, or even just your longing for change into your very own Utopistan, so to say. At the core of everything, there are the stories we tell each other. We humans are storytelling animals, as the US author Jonathan Gottschall once put it. Stories work like food for us. What you put into your body, or in this case, what kind of stories you put into your mind and into your soul, that will be the energy you're running on. And if this is only crisis and drama with no solutions in sight, obviously you will only be running on crisis and drama. This is very logical. And at the same time, there are more and more studies coming out that show the negative impact crisis media and also crisis storytelling with friends and family have on our mental health. Studies have linked the consumption of negative news to increased distress, anxiety, and depression. We get paralyzed by the state of this world, of course. And instead of trying to do something about it, instead of finding solutions as little as they might be, we just keep on doom scrolling more and more bad news. We enter a freeze mode. That is, among other things, because our human brain is running on a negativity bias, it's called. This means our attention always jumps towards a possible danger, towards a problem, towards something we have to protect ourselves from. This was very useful and sometimes life-saving while we were still living in the wilderness and dangerous animals and humans could mean an end to our time on Earth. But in today's world, it's rather life-threatening to consume all the horrific news that are sent around the globe every minute. And that even applies when you are in an area of conflict and violence. Even there, it's rather harmful than helpful to be consuming the news 24/7. I just spent some month in occupied Palestine, where people get killed almost on a daily basis. Houses get demolished, people get put in prison without a lawyer or other legal proceedings. Olive trees get burned down and areas invaded by soldiers or armed settlers. But even here, or especially here, it is so important to keep the bad news low and the good news and inspirational stories high. Otherwise, you fall into despair and depression and see not much sense in getting out of bed in the first place. We will have two stories from Palestine in this series on nature and justice that will show you why it makes sense to get out of bed anyway. But it takes a lot of effort to shift the attention of our mind away from negativity and towards inspiration. Of course, especially in places where so many horror stories are happening all the time. The negativity bias is super powerful. It's ingrained in our minds. Our attention is wired to jump onto everything that is a problem or might be a problem, rather than jumping onto something that's showing us the beauty and interconnection of this life. But constructive storytelling can help us break this negativity bias, break the circle of constant crisis and horror stories. It can be more powerful than this negativity bias. And again, this is not about unicorns and fairy tales, but about facts and figures and imagination. Constructive storytelling does not mean to ignore the horrors. We see them, we acknowledge them, they are there. But instead of falling in despair or freeze mode, we look for possibilities to change those horrors or to get out of them. We even look for joy. We can train our brain, mind, and our soul to focus on possible solutions, on inspiration, and on hope. We can share those stories and build our very own constructive life story. Whether we are a news anchor or a shopkeeper or a mom or a dad or something completely else. With those stories, we can impact what's happening inside of us and around of us in reality. Neuroscience, psychology, biology, and studies on meditation or neuroplasticity show us that within a short amount of time, we can turn the storyteller inside of us into someone telling us stories that are actually helping us rather than harming us and the people around us. So let Radio Utopistan help you with this. The storyteller inside of you is influenced by all the stories you allow in and all the stories you let out. Of course. That is very logical. So again, no unicorns, but maybe some magic. The three principles from above can turn any story into a constructive story. Be it a long TV report or the story you tell your friends or partners at the end of a day. This is not easy, I know. And I just wrote my first book. Sorry, I'm still happy. And there, I try to apply those principles. You can check it out and tell me if it worked. The book is about the rights of nature, about the beauty of nature and justice. Like our new podcast series here. And for the book, I focused on the idea of giving legal rights to nature and how that could change everything. Our relationship to the planet, our relationship to each other, how this idea is already changing something in some parts of the world. I would love to tell you more, but more in the book. So far, only in German, Die Natur hat Recht, which has a double meaning, nature has rights and nature is right. Very curious what you say. Before closing this episode, I would love to give you a tiny tool from our team toolbox at Radio Utopistan to help you focus your mind on positivity instead of negativity. We start our meetings with our utopian moments of the week. Everybody is sharing a small or big incident that made them smile, feel connected, or hopeful towards a better future. I'll share one with you here and invite you to think about your own utopian moment of the week. Mine goes like this. I had just arrived in Hamburg after more than half a year outside of Germany. And I have mixed feelings towards my home country, I have to tell you. So I was not too happy to be back. I was with all my luggage coming from the airport and leaving the underground station in the middle of the city. When I ran into one of my best friends, coincidentally, she didn't know my arrival time. There were so many people coming and going, but we saw each other and the hug made me feel at home and joyful, even though I didn't really want to be in Germany. An utopian moment for me that reminded me that joy and connection can be found almost anywhere and anytime. You just have to keep your eyes open. So, what was your utopian moment of the week and why? Write it down. And if you want, send it to us via Instagram or our website. At the end of our episodes, we normally ask our guests about their utopias. So today I will share mine with you. My utopista and my utopia. Now, maybe it will change, but it has been this for quite a long time now. My Utopistan is a world where listening becomes equally important as talking. Because I believe, and I have seen, how being listened to, I mean really being listened to from the bottom of our heart and with full attention from the listener, how this can have a huge impact on people, sometimes bigger than any speech could have. And listening is part of any story, isn't it? Otherwise, the story couldn't land anywhere. And I guess more and more people understand and value listening. I mean, you are still here. You listened until the end. So thank you. I'm really happy you listened until the end. And if you want, check out the constructive stories we collected so far and listen some more. About a priest in Mexico, for example, who is trying to bring justice and peace into an area full of drug violence and narco trafficking around Ayotzinapa. Or the story about a German social worker helping former Nazis to leave their circles. Or about a lawyer in Guyana who is trying to protect nature against one of the biggest oil companies. Or. And we have new episodes in the making. This will be easier with your support, of course. You can be part of it with your ideas in our social media team or organizing events and workshops. Money is always helping, of course. We are on Patreon. You find updates for everything on our website or in our newsletter. Radio Utopistan team for this episode are me and my fellow Utopista, radio colleague and friend for years now, Christina Firmelius. And I leave you now with the sounds of Los Cedros, a subtropical rainforest in Ecuador. You will hear more of it in the next episode. It is one of the most important cases about rights of nature in the world. If you can't wait till the end of October, listen to our episode with Carlos Soria again. Or, for the first time, I don't know. He is trying to protect the Valley of Intac with the rights of nature. The two forests are connected. Of course they are. But the stories are quite different. So here now, Los Cedros.